Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. You are holy. Yes, you are God.
I really love you.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, in the spirit, love to worship you,
love to worship you,
oh Lord. Oh, you are. Don't you know we serve a holy God? I really love
you.
My God, oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
out of all the things I am,
everything I hold, you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me.
Out of all the things I am,
everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. I love this. Listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me. Spirit of the Lord upon me, and the worshiper is in me.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me,
and the worshiper,
and the worshiper is in me.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Upon me,
and the worshiper. Love the worship. Lift those hands right now. This is a good place. Come on, celebrate him. If you really love the worship, come on, begin to bless him. Come on, come on. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Come on. Everybody in this place, come on, stretch your hands before your God. Just celebrate him. Come on, come on. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how great he is in your life. Come on, just love on the Lord. I'm talking about your Savior.
Oh man, praise the Lord, everybody that is on this radio show with me on this evening. I am truly in an area in my life where that song resonates into my spirit. I'm a true worshiper. Love to worship the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for all of those who are listening by the internet and just your phone, man, what a privilege it is for me to be speaking to each and every one of you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. I'm your friend. I'm your brother. I'm your cousin. I'm your nephew. I'm your neighbor down the street. I am truly Prophet Dwayne Woods, and you have just entered into the Prophet's Closet. We have been recently talking about my mind is playing tricks on me, and even on my conference line, it has really been resonated into the hearts and the minds of so many people because of what the enemy has tried to do is to bewitch us from really thinking that God is going to bless us. And so I want to be able to share with each and every one of you on this evening that if God said it, it's going to happen for you. Despite whatever your mind may tell you, despite whatever people may say to you, if God said it, it's going to happen. And what we need to do is we need to wrap our minds around receiving what God has said. And so I want to share with you something that hopefully this will open up a dialogue at the end of this so that people will get the understanding of what has really taken place. What the enemy has done before you got into the position of where you're at to really believe God. What he did was when you were a little kid, he inserted something traumatic in your mindset that triggers you, or when things happen, it messes up your mind or your state of mind. So when I was in the fourth grade, going to a predominantly white school, but there were blacks there. And I remember this just like it was yesterday, and this is the reason why I want to talk to you all about my mind plays tricks on me. So I'm in fourth grade. My mom got a call from one of the teachers to come to a teacher conference meeting where a group of white teachers, and I'm not singling out just white, I'm just simply trying to get you to understand where we were at this particular time back in the early, I would say the mid-70s, 80s, you know. And so these teachers told my mom that I was not smart enough to go to the fifth grade. And so my mom sat there listening to him, and I kept telling my mom I am smart. It just takes me a little bit longer to grasp what is being said to me, right? I just had a slow development when it comes to the mental state of a mind. And so my mom listened to what the teacher said. The teachers held me back in the fourth grade. And while in the fourth grade, instead of them putting me in regular classes, I was in what they call learning disability classes today. But back then, when I was growing up, they were called remedial classes or retarded classes. And so I'm in there with people with helmets on their head. I'm in a classroom where people are foaming out of their mouths, people in wheelchairs because of how they were born. So I'm in a bunch of classes with people that did not look like me, and it was humiliating to me as a kid. So I'm running home every day crying because I was bullied to the highest of being bullied. And, you know, being in a predominantly black neighborhood, when people get wind of a child had got held back in the fourth grade, I'm talking about I was bullied, I was talked about, I was teased. So every day I would run home crying. Every day I would be scared to even get on the bus because of the humiliation that I would have to go through. And so it had impacted my mind to the point where I would do anything possible to try to make people like me. I would do crazy things just to make you like me. I would appease to people's feelings and overlook my feelings because I didn't want to get talked about. I wanted people to like me and understand. And what the enemy had did was he put a seed in me to the point where I would overlook my feelings for someone else's pleasure, if you will. And so all through my life, it impacted my decisions. It impacted the way I write letters to people because I'm always examining that I don't want to hurt someone's feelings or I want to appease to someone's feelings. I will take the blunt of what somebody said to me and never come back with how you made me feel. And so in that, it caused me to always be in the presence of God with a repentive attitude because I thought that he would definitely leave me because of some of the things that I've done, some of my actions, and some of my ways. And so it got to the point where anytime that God would say something, my mind would always reflect on I got to act a certain kind of way in his presence because I don't want him to take away his blessings from me. My mind was playing tricks on me to make me believe that I always had to repent. And don't get me wrong, there's a way to repent to God and true forgiveness, but I was repenting because I didn't want him to leave me. And I would do whatever I had to do to keep that love. And then when God showed me this on last Saturday, he delivered me. He said, "Son, there's no sin that you can do that I cannot forgive you for. The only sin that is not forgivable if you speak about my Holy Spirit in the wrong way. But other than that, all these other little sins that happens, I can overlook them. I even told you I've thrown them into the abyss to remember them no more." And so God delivered me. And what I want to share with those on here today, that even in the midst of your mind is getting you to the point that is playing tricks on you to believe certain things that is not of God, and God is going to banish you. I come to tell you right now that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you would go with me over into the book of Romans, because all of us have had a trauma experience in our lives growing up to the point where we overanalyze certain things. And even when God is speaking to us, we are overanalyzed what God is saying to us, pertaining to us. He wants to take us into a new dimension, but because our mind is so wrapped around what we did because of the enemy, we don't believe nor do we trust what God says. So in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter in the book of Romans, if y'all would, if you would do me a favor, if you would go there real quick to the book of Romans, the eighth chapter in the book of Romans, and I'm going there as I'm speaking to you all right now. And it talks about the carnal mind. So let's go to Romans number 6, the 8th chapter 6 verse. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. So let's just stop right there. When the enemy is playing on the inserts of your mind, because we were shaped and formed in iniquity, it gives us a carnal mindset. And in our carnal mindset, we think differently from our spiritual mindset. Now, y'all listen to me. This is the reason why God was talking to me about your mind is playing tricks on you. It's because the carnal mind is always trying to run the life of an individual when they're actually trying to be spiritually minded. The carnal mind is a tug of war between your carnal mind and your spiritual mind. Remember, we are spiritual beings, but we were born and shaped in the iniquity state of mindset because of how we came through the canal of the birthing canal of our mother. So when God placed us here, the mindset of the carnal mindset has taken more place, and it has taken more vengeance, if you will, to the place it does not want you to appease to God. So the mind begins to tell you things differently from what God has said. And 9 times out of 10, if you lean more to your carnal mindset, you will miss everything that God has for you. We will miss prophetic words. We will miss what the pastor has said to us over the. We will miss what our husband or our wife said to us. We will miss what mother and dad, and y'all get what I'm saying. We will miss things because the carnal mind is stronger to the point where it wants to hear only what it wants to hear. And it wants to appease only what it wants to appease, right? So in the book of Romans, Paul said, to be carnally minded is death, which means that you don't see yourself coming or moving into the place where God wants you to be. The carnal mind only wants its own satisfaction, and that's for you not to please God. That's where the carnal mind is at. So he says, to be carnally minded is death. But then he goes on and say, in the same passage, he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when I was coming up, listening to all of these people, it placed something in my mindset where I had to fight. I had to fight for people's pleasures, if you will. I had to fight. I had to please people. And that's one of the things that the mind will have you to do. It would also have you to try to please people. even when you know it's wrong, you're still wanting to please people. You're still wanting to submit yourself to their actions and to their ways, and then you miss everything that God has for you. Okay, y'all follow it. Y'all follow me. You follow me. And so in the midst of this, Paul is saying, if you're going to stay carnally minded, you're going to actually miss everything that God has for you, which is life. He said, what I wish above all, that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your what? Soul prospers. So God, everything that God wants for us is the prosperity. He wants us to live a good life and have life more abundantly. The things that we have experienced, it causes us to not see hope at the end. But Paul said, I press towards the mark of a high calling. That's when your mind has been made up to say, despite what I've seen, despite what I've heard, I still got to press towards the mark that has been set before me. And I'm not going to allow my carnal mind to tell me any different. I'm going to press in this thing. I'm not going to miss what God has for me. Now, family members may miss it. Even your wife or your husband might miss it. But you still have got to stay on track because there's something greater at the end of this. So Paul says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So one of the things that we have got to get over is what has been put into our mind. What has told us that you cannot make it. The enemy put something in the mind of Eve when she was in the garden. The enemy did. He put a suggestion. Did God really say this? And to you who are listening to me, did God really say that you're going to be blessed? Did he really say that you're going to be healed? Did he really say that you're going to be greater than what you are? Did he really say that? So he puts a point of his own example into our own mindset, to whereas we begin to listen to these things, and because of our mindset, it keeps us in a downtrodden position to surrender to what the enemy has said other than what God has said. Because if you think about it, if five things go wrong in your life, back to back to back to back, your mind tends to play tricks on you to believe that this is the way it's going to be. And then it really takes other people the strength to push your mind from where it was to where it needs to be so that you can get back onto this belief factor to believe God. He said in the book of Hebrews, he said, without faith it is impossible. Without faith it is impossible. Without faith it is impossible. When you are carnally minded, the faith factor of an individual is no longer there. But to be spiritually minded is when you grab all that's inside of you, the faith to believe that God can do anything with anyone that he chooses to do it with. I got to have faith. And I got to believe that despite what I've gone through, I'm not going to stay in this crippled state of mind. So Paul says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then he goes on to say in verse number 7, he says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that's where the enemy wants us to be, to not believe. And he wants us to continue to fight against what God has said. So when the doctors say, hey, you can be healed from cancer, our mind, and if God says you can be healed from this situation, our mind tells us, that's not true. I'm going to have to die like this because what the doctors have said. So the mind doesn't believe that God can heal you. It just wants to believe what it wants to believe. Oh, I'm going to die in this situation. I'm going to die crippled. I'm going to die broke. I'm going to die not having what I want to have. I'm going to die being single. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you got to get away from the carnal mindset to now in the trust mindset is the spiritual side of you and say, look, I can no longer stay where I was. And that's what I had to do. When God delivered me last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but Saturday before last, when he did that, I was willing and able-minded to say, I don't want to be in this condition no longer. Please help me. And all that was inside of me, all of the memories of what took place and what I'd done came to the forefront. And then God says, I'm getting ready to eradicate these things from your mind because you're much greater, Dwayne. Ooh, my goodness, help me, Jesus. You're much greater in a good condition than you are in the condition that you are right now. And I don't know who I'm talking to on this line who's listening to me. You are much greater in the condition that God wants you to be in than the condition that you are in right now. And you are not going to stay in this condition any longer because he has greatness for you. He has greatness for you. He even said in his word, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. And that's where your mind has got to be, in me. He said, without your mind, I can't do anything. There has got to be an agreement between me and you because when I get ready to do the things that I told you I'm going to do in your life, there's got to be an agreement that it is okay for me to do what I'm getting ready to do. Oh, I don't hear nobody on the line. I know y'all all muted right now. It's all good. I'm getting a little bit stirred up. But he says, there has got to be an agreement that when I get ready to do this, when I get ready to bring you through, you are satisfied with what I'm getting ready to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so Paul says, when the greater is coming, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Then Paul says, now, because my mind is recognizing that there is no greater power than the one who died for my sins, and that is Jesus Christ. So there's nothing greater than him. No power from the enemy is greater than our Lord and Savior. Even when Jesus said in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, around the 17th verse, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions. And you got to realize something, that the power that he's giving you the power, and he said also, I'm giving you the power even over the enemy, which is Satan himself. And so whatever grafts that Satan has planted into the minds of every believer, everything that he's done before you got to the point of where you are and walking with Christ has been abolished at the cross. But because he operates in the mindset of people, he always brings up what you've done. He always brings up what someone done to you. So it keeps you in the mindset of a carnalness because you can never escape But I come to tell you today, you can't escape it, but you just got to give it all to God. And I remember the Saturday before last, I said, God, I give it all to you. I give all those memories of my fourth grade, I give it to you. I give you all the memories of the abuse that I've suffered and went through all my life trying to appease to people. I give you all of that, God. I give you, oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I give you everything that has grasped my mind to believe less of Dwayne and to think more about people. I give that to you, too. And when I tell you that I went through a deep deliverance, that it has helped me to come to a clear understanding of why I do what I do. I don't have to do that no more. I don't have to appease to people because my feelings matter. I don't have to satisfy the flesh because I want to satisfy my spirit man, and that's the one where God is at. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I no longer want to be on the bottom, but I want to rise to the occasions to be on top. Can I get a witness, somebody? And so Paul was letting me know that if I stay in this mindset, it's going to eventually kill me. Not situations, but my mind. And it won't kill me physically, but it'll kill me spiritually. Oh, come on, somebody. I'll start believing what people said about me. I'll start accepting what the enemy has said that I can never achieve. There has got to be a switch. You know, just like in your house, you have a switch that turns the light on and it turns the light off. Switch. Where to the point, you as a believer got to turn it on now. You got to turn it on now. And if I can say it like this, like I feel it, it's time for you to turn up. It's time to turn up now. I've been down. It's time for me to rise to the occasion. It's time to turn up now. And I don't care how people look at me in the church. I don't care how people look at me wherever I go. Because at the end of the day, they don't have to stand before God. I do. And God ain't going to ask them, what did they do? He going to ask them, what did you do? Why? Oh, God, I heard that one. Why is it that the talents that I've given you, you hid them because of people, what they thought about you? Oh, I'm talking to somebody on here. There's some people who you got so much gifting is inside of you, but because of how people viewed you and how you viewed yourself, you didn't want to do or use the talents that God gave you. Oh, yes, your mind would even allow you not to even use your giftings that God has placed inside of you. Spirit of healing, you won't use it because you'll be looking at what people think about you and even what you think about yourself because of your carnal mindset. Your mind is playing tricks on you. If you got the gift of prophecy, and if you got the gift of interpreting tongues, and if you got the gift of walking in the all assurance of who God is in your life, you won't go to the next level because your mind is too captivated on where you came from and how people view you in the season of where you're at. Your mind is playing tricks on you. But Paul said, you got to come up out of the carnal mindset. You got to get into the spiritual mindset because that's where you're going to receive your life and that's where you're going to have your peace. And I come to tell somebody here tonight that I would rather have a peaceful mind with nobody around me than have a carnal mind and everybody that I have to appease to. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo, I know I'm talking better than what it, ooh, woo. Glory. Glory to God. So then he says in verse number 8, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is none of his. So we have got to change from the carnal mindset to walk in the Spirit so that we can be counted as his. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can be counted as his disciples, as his followers, so that we can do the commission, what we were commissioned to do, and that is go to the highways and the byways to preach the gospel, to talk to whomever he wants us to talk to, because now our mind is made up that for God I live and for God I'll die. Hallelujah. And, you know, God said something to me. I want y'all to hear what he said to me. Let me get to my notes real quick. He said this to me because I was speaking on Saturday, just this past Saturday, about the power of God. And I had to write this down. He said this to me, and this can be used to each and every one of you, especially when you are trying to get out of the carnal mindset to walk into your spiritualness, because the word of God is the word of God. It's irrevocable. Whatever he said, it came to pass. So if he said, let there be, guess what? It was, because a spoken word is actually the action word of God. And he said this to me. He said, the spoken word of me is my action. It's my action. If you want to come from the carnal mindset, you've now got to speak it, which becomes an action word. And when you speak the word of God, you are putting it into action so that you may get the reaction of the word that you just spoke. Listen, oh my God, y'all, so somebody just missed that. So if when God said, let there be, which was an action word, he seen the reaction of what he spoke. It happened just like that. So when you begin to come out of the carnal mindset into the spiritual mindset, you're actually speaking that you don't no longer want to be in this condition. And because you're speaking it, you're looking at the reaction of you coming out of what, oh my God, you once was in. Because now the Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. So I am calling myself to come into a higher level than what I was, so that I can see the reaction of what I spoke into action. I hope somebody got that. I hope somebody got that. So he says, so you're actually putting, I'm actually putting my spoken word into action to get the reaction of what I spoke, which was when I said, let there be light, which was the spoken word, and the reaction was happening right in front of God's eye of what he spoke. Y'all get that? Did y'all get that? I'm pretty sure somebody got that. Amen. So when he spoke all these things to come into existence, he used an action word. Can I go a little further than that? When you tell somebody that you love them, which love is an action word, the reaction of what I'm putting out there is that I'm telling somebody I love them, which is an action word. The reaction is them receiving or even seeing the love that I said because I love them. So now they actually wanted to see the reaction of me walking out what I spoke. That's just like your word. That's just like your mindset. You want to come out of it, speak it into existence. I no longer live in poverty. Woo, good God Almighty. I'm no longer sick. Oh, my goodness. I'm no longer having to deal with these type of people. You got to speak this thing out into existence so that you can see the actions of what you just said, Oh, come on, somebody. My mind is no longer playing tricks on me. I'm speaking it out. I'm not what James said in the book of James, the first chapter. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm no longer that individual that I'm not. I am stable. My mind is no longer playing tricks on me because now I believe who God created. I believe God made me in his own image, and I believe that I can do exactly what Jesus said that I can do at a greater level. Hallelujah. Y'all with me so far? Y'all with me so far? Yes. And so Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. That's Proverbs 23:7. Romans 8:8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We've got to remove ourselves from the carnal thinking because that's not pleasing to God. To where now we're walking in the spirit to please God. Amen. I'm getting ready to end it here pretty soon. Hallelujah. And so I wrote this down. Your thoughts have power. Thoughts in line with the word of God will protect you. Look, listen to this. Your thoughts have power. Thoughts in the line with the word of God. When your thoughts line up with the word of God, those thoughts will protect you. It will not just protect you. It will protect your spirit, your soul, and your body. Negative thoughts, which is your carnal mindset, will cost you dearly in the same areas of your spirit, your soul, and your body. So when you have a carnally mindset, and you have the carnally mindset brings you negative thoughts, it's going to cost you dearly because it's going to affect your spirit, your soul, and your body. Think about it. When a person begins to be so negative everything they do, negative, it brings sickness to your body. It brings sickness to your soul. Because all you see is negativity. You can't move no further than where you're at because someone or your mind has already told you, this is the way it's going to be for you. You can't accept the truth. Your mind won't even accept the truth about you. I'm telling you, people of God, the mind has so much power. And that's why God says, without your mind, I can't do nothing. There won't be no agreement between me and you. If I can't have your mind, if I can't change your mind, let me tell y'all something, man. Look, I've been working in the financial spectrum. Been working in this financial spectrum. The hardest thing to do is to change the mind of a person whose mind is already stuck. That's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to do someone's a financial analysis to show them on black and white that if you change this or if you change that, you can live a prosperous life. But because they're so wrapped up in the carnal mindset, they can't see them coming out of financial debt. Oh, my goodness. Your mind has got to be so locked down that it don't even see prosperity. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I've worked with people to try to do a financial budget. And dealing with predominantly Black America, they only want to show you what they see is good, but they don't want to show you their bad spending habits. Why is that? The carnal mindset says to them or her, I don't want them to be one up on you. Man, what am I going to do with knowing that you got some financial situations going on? It is what it is. We all have financial situations. But if you got somebody to show you anything different, they're not trying to get one up on you. They're actually trying to help you survive. If Pastor E has the blueprints on evangelism or evangelizing, I'm not going to look at him any different. I'm going to say, hey, Pastor E, show me how to evangelize at a greater level, because I'm willing to learn. And because of Pastor E, his passion for evangelism, guess what he does? He shows me the blueprint so that we both can gather these people to come to Christ. And I'm pretty sure that there's some people who work in the financial market where they actually try to show people. But, man, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing to do is to change somebody's mind, because they have been embedded in doing things the way that they see fit doing. But the Bible says in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is the hardest thing to try to renew when it comes to even listening to God, because it wants to do it its way. Well, you serve God the way you serve God, and I'm going to serve God the way I see fit for me to serve God, because this has worked for my grandmother. This has worked for my great-grandmother. We're so much in traditionalism that we can't even see the new age of things, because our mind won't let us. We go based upon what the banking system tells us. We go based upon what the loan officers have told us, and we're settled with it despite how much agony and pain that we have got to go through. We will go through it. We will suffer through it, and we don't want no help. I'm glad that my mind is made up. In this season of my walk with Christ, I want help, and I will accept the help. Not denying it. My goodness. My mind is no longer playing tricks on me. What about you? Where is your mind at right now? Where is your mind at on the things of and the promises of God? Where is your mind at when it comes to, can I really be healed from this sickness? Can I really walk a blessed life? Will I always stay in these type of neighborhoods? Will I always be succumbed to these type of relationships? Because this is what I've attracted all my life. I guess I got to settle for this. Have you allowed your mind to settle your situations? Oh, that's good right there. Have you allowed your mind to settle your situations? Man, I think I'm gonna end it right there. Have you allowed your mind to settle situations in your life. Pastor E, you can come on in, man. I'm going to leave it right there. Hey, it's time for us to talk a little bit. I'm done. It's time for us to talk a little bit. Have you allowed your mind to make the decisions for you that it's settled with? I'm good with it. And if that be the case, then, man, we really need to talk. We really need to talk. You were in the prophet's closet. I'm your brother. I'm your friend. I'm your neighbor. I'm Prophet Dwayne Woods. And we are opening up the doors now. Opening up the doors, the windows. We're inviting you to talk back to us. We doing all of that today. Pastor E, you there? I know I just heard you. Come on in, brother.
Yes, I'm here. I am here. But you, man, woo, bro, man, you got me sitting there. I'm on the corner. Like, help me, Jesus. I mean, there's so many uncovered things. I had to mute myself because it was going to bounce. I got back in the studio. But, you know, there are so many uncovered things in us, and it's ironic that you just said that God had delivered you, 2 weeks ago?
Yes,
I was,
sir.
Some things that I was dealing with about my family, you know, and you guys know the story, and me being, oh, it's all right, I can take it, man, I was built for this. I was, you know, and I was just really going through that season of realizing that I was a child thrown away, rescued. I was rescued, but just to know that someone didn't care enough for me to keep me. This was burning on me, man. It was just burning on me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something funny acting about it, you know. I stayed on the throne with it, you know, but God was just showing me that, you know, there are things in us that have been hidden. I always knew something wasn't right with my family as a little kid, Prophet. I knew I didn't match. I knew I didn't fit. None of us in the household had the same get out. You know, I always recognized that, you know, and then now to know and to have to really address these things, these hurts and pains that we big time, I'm hard, I'm all that. Let's be transparent. I mean, stuff that really comes up. Where you come from? I thought I was delivered from
that.
No.
Yes, sir.
You got to really take it to the Lord and really give it to the Lord. You know, the word said, cast all your cares. Man, we give a little bit.
Man,
we just cast enough for him to bless us, and then we run off like we big time. We can do it instead of allowing the process to take over and remove that pain.
Yes, sir.
That's the problem, is we don't let it go. We get it fixed a little bit, and as soon as we feel a little bit, we right back. You remember that girl, I know you have one, that you dated, and you guys could get into it, but, man, you could see each other. Boom, the light was back on until about 30
exactly.
minutes after, and then the light went off again. But every time you saw her, that light was, oh, man, woo, what's going on here? I don't know if anybody else can address that, but I had one of them in my life. He's like, man, why would you keep putting yourself through that mess?
Exactly.
Because we still hold on to things and not let the person really go.
Yes, sir.
Because you hurt me. Because you did me wrong. Because you didn't live up to my standards. Your purpose was different than mine. See, we should have been smarter in the beginning to ask, what's your purpose?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you bless me. If nobody else, anybody else out there, come on in. You see, he didn't preach today. He just talked and shared and released the remnant that was left from what you had was now just released completely because of your transparency here on this network. I'm so honored that God used us to be that vessel for you to release and let somebody else know they still holding on to some stuff. That old job you lost.
Yes, sir.
That wasn't their fault. We still mad at the boss. It wasn't the boss. You was late all the time. They wrote you up too much, and you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. Yeah, you were smart. Yeah, you was a good employee, but that was on your terms, not theirs. Let them off the hook.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, sir. See my number one hand went up. Pastor Terry, come on in. We still in the closet. We ain't out of the closet yet.
Hallelujah.
Look, we still in the closet right now. So
praise God. you know what, still in the prophet's closet, but what a word, Prophet Woods, my family, Pastor E, I was just over here full of joy and just smiling, you know, because I always say, but thank God for him being who he is, because I enjoyed your story of when you was a little boy.
Yes, sir.
To do some
yes,
things
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And act out.
Yes, ma'am.
I got to go back and listen to it because there's so much in there. But, you know, what you left with me that really stuck with me on our minds, that we have that line up with the word of God. That's our protection.
Yes.
So
yes.
I had to highlight that in my notes. You know, he said, think of those things that are pure. And when we say keep your mind set on Jesus, it's not just a cliche. It's a truth. It's a whole lot to that because it keeps
yes.
us off of those negative thoughts. It keeps us our thoughts off negativity on putting our thoughts on people. So,
Pastor Terry, I dropped my phone. Look, Pastor Terry, I dropped my phone. He says, has your mind really convinced you? Now, wait a minute, I dropped my phone. I was like, oh, my God. He did not go there because that's a mind check right there.
But, you know, Pastor, I'm listening to your story, to your testimony. But, you know, always saying all things work out for God's glory. And when he know, because we know with your family that raised you and your family that you have now, God has made all that possible that you was blessed doubly. So I always say glory to God. He don't make no mistakes, but he knows.
No, he does not.
Greater was in your future. For you to open up some people's eyes when they think they go through things. We don't go through
yes.
it alone. When we go through it with him and purpose, too. So I praise God for you guys. Amen. God bless you and much love.
I'm glad you mentioned that about my story because my story is dynamic.
Yes.
But the
yes,
things that I went through in life and not knowing why.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That I was
yes.
distant, and those are the things that arise now that I know. And man,
right?
If I'm old, Lord, let me hear. I'm just gonna say this.
But you know what, Pastor E, when I first met you and everything, and I seen pictures of your mom and your dad from Compton, and I says, you know, but I know white and black because that's in my family, my father's side and my stepfather too. So I know, and I says, your mom, she looks Creole. You know,
yes.
So I said,
oh,
no,
you know, they picked the right kids.
Yeah.
look, hey, Prophet, they picked the right kids to adopt because there's a picture of my great-grandmother. She's an Indian.
Right.
And my dad gave me the picture, and that's his grandmother. I look just
right.
like this woman.
Wow.
See? Amen.
My sister
Amen.
Had the same nose as my mother, and we're both adopted.
Right, right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, but I'm just saying, you know, and I was just trying to be transparent right there that the fact that just those hidden emotions
that
we have to go
deeper
as believers.
Just like him. Yeah.
We got to go deeper in those inner feelings. Go ahead, Prophet.
And that's where the enemy He wants to keep us in those conditions of our past.
Ooh,
you
issues.
Know, if you think about it, man, you're so right about it, issues, sir. And what you think about is this: we have so many memory banks in our mind that we can go to when the first time we were hurt. We can go to the first time where we bumped our foot and it just brought us so much pain. We can go to a relationship. We remember all of that stuff. But that's what the enemy wants us to remember so that we won't reflect on the things of God. He wants us to remember the pain. He wants, because, now watch this. He really wants us to adopt it so that we won't adopt, to be. Oh, my goodness, so that we won't be adopted by our Father. Glory be to God.
Man, I'm adopted. I'm adopted. Let me just make it clear for anybody out there listening. I'm adopted. I am walking faithful through Jesus Christ. We got to start even claiming who we are.
Yes, sir.
Don't wait for somebody
yes,
else to
sir.
Say, oh, you look so blessed. I'm blessed. And that ain't because I got a new car. It's because I got anointing on my life. I got peace on my life. And I can tell you about Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
anybody else out there, because you're going to let me, Pastor Terry, and Prophet get on a three-way, and you guys are just going to listen to one of our conversations. Come on, get in the conversation right now. I see many of you out there, and I know you may be that same person just like us saying, dang, why'd they go here today? I was just dealing with that. You need to dial one. And the prophet is a prophet. This is just not a label. His anointing is the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. And I trust him so much that I know when he brings a subject, it is that anointing, that prophetic anointing on his life through Jesus Christ that we can all hear and receive. Take advantage of this time right now. You're in the closet. You can talk about stuff here. Never ever. Look, people try to listen to the recordings because of the closet, they can't even get them. But anyway, dial 1. Area code 904, last 4, 7143. You are live in the closet with Prophet Dwayne.
Well, hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Willie Collins. I am a friend of Prophet Dwayne, and I just want to say
you are friend too, bro.
Well, God bless you guys, man. I am blown away by the testimony that my brother shared tonight, because I didn't know. I really didn't know, and I want to say, man, I love you. I appreciate God for your transparency, but I also want to say something. You said something, Pastor, the pastor that just brought me in, about being adopted and the feelings and different things that you have. I'll say this. I'm not adopted, but I have siblings that we all don't have the same mother and father. The majority of us have the same mother because that's the way that my mom raised us, and she didn't raise us as steps. But one of the things that I heard when you were talking that resonated in my spirit, it's not that you're always adopted for you to be feeling like you're outside. Oh, my God.
Come on now.
You can be inside the family and not feel like you're a part of the group. And there were times because I am, like I mentioned, we have the same mother, but I had a different father. I didn't grow up with my father. My father was murdered when I was 3 because he was a hoe, and he was out there in them streets and various different things like that, if I could share it like just like that. But because I look different, because I'm darker than the other siblings, I question if I was legitimately a part of the family, if I really was a part of the core group. It wasn't until I began to see pictures of my father and realized that there was no way that I am adopted. And when I think about that, as I have grown up in the things of God, I'm thinking about how, although I didn't have my natural father, but because my mother introduced me to my heavenly father, and because I start to look at the characteristics of my heavenly father, I began to identify with my heavenly father and anyone else. Rather, if they claim to be a part of my family, I realized that my father was who I am related to. And when I start to look in God's word, I start to realize that that's who I can identify for. And because I was inside that family at a certain time, but I had to be there because that was the time that the God that used me just to be a part of that family to get to me introduced to my natural father. So I am honored that you shared the fact that you look like your grandmother, because you were going through life identifying, knowing, okay, I'm not quite a part of this, but there's somewhere that I have to be identified with. And it was for me, I had to grow up understanding that I am darker than the rest, and then listening to the world and say, oh, because you're black. Not just because you're black, because you're black. You're not as good as the rest. But I was thanking God for a prophet, as he quoted Romans 12:1-2, actually. It says, you know, about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And because I decided to renew my mind, because I decided not to be like the rest of the world, because I decided not to be just like the rest of my family, because I decided to be like my heavenly father, everything changed.
Yes.
So grateful.
Yes,
as
sir.
I began to understand who I am, it changed the trajectory of my bloodline. So now, although I didn't have my natural father to raise me and teach me certain things that I had to grasp, but it wasn't until my heavenly father showed me who I am. So now, therefore, I can teach my children and teach my children's children, because I yoked up with the right wife, and she understands who she is, and she understands who her father is, and because we're able to come together, we'll be able to change for the greater of the good. So I thank
you for
your transparency.
Man, you
Well, see, that's the thing is that, and we, and Prophet, we got to, remember we used to have so many people talking with us back in the day, man. We got to get this back going, because that's what the cause is about, us really hearing each other and taking a respectful time and saying, no, this is my view. If you knew me, I had a father and a mother who raised me and didn't tell me. They went to their deathbed and never told me. I found this out by doing a DNA test that someone randomly gave me. And I didn't even search. It just kept messages kept popping up. 99.99%, 99.99. Now I'm nosy and found out that I have a complete family in South Carolina. My father's still alive. Three of his five sisters are still alive. Their kids are alive. I have a whole new family that I'm dealing with, but that for us to be able to just express the inner things that go beyond other people, because just like my brother shared, somebody else just probably shook their head and said, that was me. I was part of the family and feel alienated. Well, here, let me give you story number two. I was the black sheep. Badass, excuse my French, hell. Bad as hell, and I was a tyrant. I mean, so I was even in, when I was we were raised in vacations and with family and stuff. I was always was the black sheep for some reason or another. But those pains and those emotions that we have to deal with. I've been dealing with a lot of things, and it has to do with the mind and mental health and being healthy in our thinking processes. It takes getting it out first, and we got to talk more. So thank you for kicking off this conversation tonight. I'm telling you guys, next week, in 2 weeks, invite one. We need to open up this closet, because we understand, and Prophet, I'm preaching for you. This is the man that can that deals with issues, and we all have some.
Indeed. We all have them.
Even those like me that just said my life is better, I still got issues.
Still got them.
But it's not the issue you have. It's how you deal with the issues.
Exactly,
go ahead, Prophet.
Sir.
Anybody else?
Pastor Willie Collins, man, that's my friend. That's not just my friend. That's my brother, ten toes down, just like you are, Pastor E. You know, man, I will ride to the moon for y'all brothers, man, because of the love I have, you know, for the both of you. And
heaven, here
we
come.
I never shared that with my brother, because of what God just showed me. You know, my administrator was praying for me. She said, I really want God to show you, you know. And I was in a quiet place, man, and all of a sudden, man, he began to talk to me early in the morning, and I could not stop crying.
Oh, Jesus.
I could not stop
Thank
crying,
you,
man. And he grabbed all of that stuff. And
thank you, Lord.
I cling on to relationships, and the reason why I treat family members certain ways, and I've always overlooked my feelings for everybody else's. And he said, no longer, Dwayne, you're going to walk this way, because it affects your walk with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Deliver us.
And I remember people telling me, you would never amount to anything. And I began to absorb those words, that I would try to do everything I possibly can do to run away from the words. But I also found myself accepting them. And it caused me to stay in relationships a lot longer than what I was supposed to stay in relationships. It caused me to stay in friendships a lot longer because I was so scared to lose. And I would do anything I could possibly do to just make it up, whatever I got to do. If I got to spend money, if I got to act a certain kind of way, because that was my fault it happened this way. I never allowed them to take the blame, Pastor E. I took the blame.
Man, look, that's dynamic. Now, you opened up some things because, you know, I'm a PK kid. I grew up in church. And I remember there's something they used to always say about me. Oh, that's Reverend Hamilton's son. You know, they the worst. You know, they bad. And then as I got older and I thought about why did I do some of the things I did, these people told me I was bad. And, you know, I now look back and I just used to try to live up to the name that, man, oh, man, he got just so many things they said about me. And I lived up to those things because of the people that were influencing me. And they would say it. Oh, that's just Eddie Hamilton. That's Eddie. That's Reverend Hamilton's son. You know, he the baddest one. I said, Prophet, I used to be the baddest one. But I realized later it was the words that were spoken to me that gave me that even gave me an inclination that I could be the baddest one.
Yes, indeed.
Words. Evangelist Virginia Valentine, come on in the closet.
Before she says something, let me say this too, Pastor E. If you don't handle your issues today, they will handle you tomorrow.
And tomorrow. They don't quit.
Yes, indeed.
Evangelist, I believe you're muted. If you could hang up and call right back. We got about 16 minutes left in this broadcast. We definitely want to hear from you today. All right, she dropped out. I believe she's going to call back, and we'll get her in there. Anybody else out there that you don't know why you're here, and you've heard some dynamic things from the prophet, and you want prayer, dial one. That's why we're here. That other person may be here. You don't even know why you are here, but you know you want to know more about Jesus. Please dial one. We can take a little three-minute section and tell you, get your starter kit and get you on your way. Evangelist Virginia Valentine, welcome in the closet.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Well, good evening, you three men of God. Hallelujah
good
this
evening.
Night.
Hallelujah.
Good evening. Good evening, you three men of God. Y'all have really, truly blessed my soul tonight.
Glory.
This word. Oh,
yes, sir.
Jesus.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Jesus.
Give it
oh,
to her,
hallelujah
God.
To you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Jesus.
Give her everything she needs, Father.
Lord Jesus.
Ooh, thank
oh,
you,
Father,
Lord.
Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless your name tonight, Father. Bless your name, Jesus. Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we
yes.
thank you. We
yes.
praise you.
Yes, we
love
do,
you.
Father.
We adore you. We magnify your name, Lord. We are
yes,
so
God.
Grateful to you tonight, Lord. We are so grateful. We are
yes.
so thankful, Lord. We are so grateful. We are so thankful, Father.
Yes.
Oh, Providence Wood, thank you, Father. God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is good, amen. I hear you
all the time.
Talking. Oh, he's so good. God is a good God, y'all. He's a good, good God. Not only is he's a good Father. He's a good, good Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good, good Father. He is my Father. He's your Father. I know some people call him Daddy, but I call him Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Top of this wood.
Yes,
God
ma'am.
Bless you, man of God. God bless you,
God
man
bless
of
you
God.
Too, woman of God.
God bless you, man of God.
God bless you, woman of God.
And I want to dance all around in this den. I did everything but run out this door.
Lord, have mercy.
What powerful, powerful, powerful teaching tonight. I
yes.
listen that you talking about the mindset. The mindset. You talked about the mindset. You know,
yes.
I listen to you. Our mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes, it is.
Our mind is a terrible thing to waste, man of God.
Yes, it is.
And the word of God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And I know
yes.
without a shadow of a doubt that I have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with
yes,
my mind.
Lord.
I need y'all to hear this tonight. My mind, I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. You know why? Because every chance I get, and I hope everybody on these lines tonight will listen to me, every chance I get, I speak to my mind. And I tell
yes.
my mind, you line up with the word of God.
Yes.
I tell my mind to be made whole. I tell my mind to line up with the word, be still, mind of God. I would not let the enemy come in and attack me with Alzheimer's. I would not be attacked with dementia. Anything that's trying to come near my body, I call it blocked in the name of Jesus. I say it's blocked.
In the name of Jesus.
I say it's blocked in the name of Jesus. Are y'all hearing me? Anything that's trying to come against me is blocked.
Yes.
Blocked.
It's
I'm
blocked.
With you.
Y'all
blocked.
Spoke to me. And he jumped in my spirit. He told me, say, tell him it's blocked.
Yes.
I can't nothing take my mind. My mind is sound.
Prophet, I don't mean to cut.
I
don't mean to cut it out. But Prophet, did do you know the story of her surgery in the hospital?
No,
Jesus
I don't.
Yes,
bro, listen, bro, listen. Look, they about to put her. They about to sedate her. She looked up at the doctor. She said, "Well, hey, excuse me. Before you do that,
yes.
can I have a mini sermon?"
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, look, she looked up. Now, we praying for her, the whole hospital. People got saved throughout that whole hospital. But what was so dynamic is before she let them put her under anesthesia, she looked up and said, no, can I get a mini sermon in?
Yes. Can I say something?
Wow.
Listen, Prophet Wood, when they told me they was going to take me to surgery and they had me in the prep room, I saw about 10 doctors or maybe more. They were surrounding my bed. And I asked them these words, God knows it happened, it's happened. I got a testimony that my tail said, Jesus, crack open the sky. I asked them, did they mind me doing a mini sermon? Do y'all mind if I preach this night? Do y'all mind if I share Jesus? And I started telling them, I started praying in the spirit. I sung in the spirit and I sung in the understanding. Y'all better hear me out tonight. They told me they were going to have to go in and move part of my large intestine, part of my colon, and put a colostrum bag on me. I say, no, you're not, because I belong to God. I'm in God's family. I've been adopted. I preached in it at night. And I guess they heard enough. They said, I'm going to slap this mask on you and take you to surgery. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know from that day on, been 5 years, 6 years that I'm healed, and I'm going to stay here till Jesus come back.
Healed. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God is a healer.
Amen.
You awesome man of God. And I thank God for you. Every chance I get, I catch you. I want to hear you. I want to hear the word being taught. I want to hear you saying in the closet.
Amen. Bless you, woman of God. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Bless you,
oh
Lord.
You keep the fire going at whatever season you're in your life. And
yes.
we just love you and thank God for you so much. God bless you. We got about 9 minutes. Want to get a
yes,
prophet
Lord,
time to
you.
Share his anything he has going on, any events, anything we need to be in prayer for him with, and how can we partner with the prophet? Now, you don't have to go to every event. You don't have to call to every call, but you can share it. One person
Amen.
That don't know Jesus, just share the link. I
That's
know you're
it.
On every call, and but just share the link. What can hurt sharing the link? And no, we ain't giving no residuals for sharing the link. We trying to share the word of God free. But why not just share the link?
Yes, sir.
Bless
yes,
you,
sir.
Man of God. You have done, I'm going to confirm it, you have done what God instructed you to do today. Go ahead and give us our last instructions and then pray us out of here.
Amen. You know, if anybody on here would like to back with me, I also have a prayer tomorrow, seeing that it's the fourth Thursday in October that we have a prayer. And you can call our conference line, 219-527-2149. You can call that number, and you can hear us pray at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 9 p.m. or whenever the Holy Spirit is finished moving. We also have strong teachings on that line every Thursday, every first, second, and third Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Restoring Global Ministry Line. And so we just thank God for each and every one who comes, those who have been healed. You know, Pastor Eve, last Thursday we spoke, man, and I tell you, when I tell you people were screaming and crying deliverance, it was amazing to see them go through their transformation because of this story that God wanted me to share with them because of what I've been through. When you've been through a purging, you want to tell everybody about the one who purged you. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge my conscience from dead work to serve the living God. So there are many people who are in Christendom society that needs their minds to be purged. So for those who need purging in your mind, continue reading Hebrews 9:14. So with that being said, Father, in the name of
Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord.
We thank you for everything that you've done on today. People who have been going through the battles of their mind, that you're relieving the stress. You are even defeating the enemy for them over their mind. And so, Father, we thank you. As evangelist had said, let this mind be in you, the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. And, Father, we thank you that you are now solidifying our minds to no longer be carnally minded, but to walk in the spiritual aspect of our mindset. So, Father, we thank you. Have your
way. Thank you, Lord.
Set forth deliverance upon the earth. Allow your spirit to help our brothers and sisters over there in Israel right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we glorify you for such times as this, that your will be done on earth as it already has been established in heaven, Father. So thank you, God, for delivering
us. Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you for setting us free. And thank you that our mind is no longer subject to the world, but is subject to the spiritualness of you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And it is so, and so it
amen.
Is.
Amen. 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 I hate to double schedule, and we got to get together on our scheduling, Prophet. Because Thursdays is Women Speak Now, Prophet. I mean, did I call her a prophet? No, I'm not elevating her. Pastor Terry is on Thursday night, our Women Speak Now, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, which is 4. So we might be able to work that in, but we got to get together on scheduling and make sure that
we're
feeding each other, that we can get people going from our broadcast to yours and from your broadcast to ours. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's telling that as you're growing, as we've grown, that we need to collaborate and grow and make sure that our scheduling assists. You played basketball before, right? That our scheduling assists each other. But tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. on the East Coast for Women Speak Now with Pastor Terry. Tomorrow night, Friday night, is Truth That Transforms Now with Prophet David. He'll be in the house Saturday morning. Real Talk with Pastor E. We are advocates for mental health. Our biggest drive is suicide. But every area of mental health we want to talk about, we want to open up our lines, we want to give you an opportunity to talk. I need you guys to invite everybody to this broadcast on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain, 12 Central, and 1 p.m. on the East Coast. And I know those times are a little bit, but I'm telling you, this is some dynamic stuff. We got L.A. County Mental Health coming in, sharing a lot of processes and things that we can help to get away from medication into education. I'm going to say that again.
I like that.
From medication to education, we are pushing and pushing, and God is putting us in the places the spaces and around the people that make these decisions. And Pastor E now has a vote with LA County Mental Health. My vote can make a difference. Listen, join with us, partner with us. Mental health is where we need to begin our journey if we're going to get our children, if we're going to get our generations, if we're going to get our lives back together. Real talk. I want to premiere here tonight the almost finished version. You better listen to it because it's going to be so hot, you're going to wish you were a part of it. Grateful by Now Praise and Pastor E here at the Now Church California. Are you grateful? Are you thankful?
Anybody grateful? You gotta tell him when you love him. Tell him he's all you need for all you've done for me. I'm grateful.
Family, we love you.